Well, this morning, we are looking at John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. And I know I've spoken on this before, and I'll speak on it again. But it's Lazarus. It's the story of Lazarus. And in times when it's easy for us to get our minds into turmoil, and, you know, listening to the entertainment, the news, the politics, the media points, the TikTok and whatever, Facebook and all the things that go through. When you look at all these things, what comes up? I was talking to an individual who said that his dad, all he does is watches Fox News. Then he talked to another person, well, they watch CNN. And, you know, it's like, okay, how do you feel after all of that? You know, because it's not relaxing. It's, you know, it's trying to, I don't know why I think that, it's just a matter of getting us stirred up somehow. But besides that, we have the understanding that there is our faith and that there is our walk with God. And we, in the scriptures that we look at here today, it's a life and death situation. Okay? Life and death situations are, I think, different than everyday presentations of whatever hype we may listen to in the news or in our life or in the media or in movies or whatever we're listening to. We find that there's not much comfort in it. And I think that people have been turning away from it because they don't find comfort, they don't find anything good, and so it's like, where can we go to find the good news? Well, the good news of our life is found in Jesus Christ, and the good news of our life is found in the scriptures. And we can have all differing opinions, but the bottom line is Jesus is our foundation for our faith. And we've got to stick to our relationship with Jesus. And we find here in John chapter 11, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead or in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were the three closest friends to Jesus outside of the disciples. And they were away, and Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that the one you love, Lazarus, is sick. Come home, come quickly, basically. But Jesus did not respond. He didn't come right away, mainly because Lazarus had already died by the time the messenger got there. So Jesus waited a couple more days. And we'd say, oh, wow. Why did he wait a couple more days? Well, 4 days to be specific. And it's interesting. For us, it's odd that in the Hebrew culture at that time, the rabbis believed that the soul of the person kind of stayed inside the tomb for 3 days, wanting to get back into the body, you know, to kind of come back to life. And at the fourth day, they leave. So the body would be officially dead. Now, we know that it's officially dead as soon as the heart stops functioning and, you know, and they've ceased to breathe. You know, they're gone. Boom, it's over. Well, in that system, it was 4 days before the body, the soul, left, and there was no chance for the body to be alive. It was important at that moment. So, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, so Jesus arrives, and he comes to Bethany, and Bethany is like if Richland were Jerusalem and Wimber were Bethany, it's 2 miles apart. Okay, so they're not too far apart, but somewhat close. And what happens in Bethany is reported in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was the hub of all the religious activity. And the religious activity was against the Jesus. The religious leaders wanted rid of Jesus because he was not conforming to their theology or not conforming to their way of doing things. The Pharisees were very arrogant in their lifestyle and in their way of presenting the message of God to the temple and to the people. You know, they looked down on everyone. You know, like the situations that is recorded in Scripture, it would say one of the Pharisees is standing on the street corner praying, you know, so everybody could hear him. And he said, God, I thank you that I'm not like that wretched sinner over there, you know. So they were very arrogant. And they didn't like Jesus because he didn't come to them and get permission to do his ministry. So Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort and concerning their brother Lazarus. So one of the things at that time period, there was no like funeral service. In a sense, there was basically the person had to be in the tomb within 24 hours because there was no embalming. There was, and 100 degrees, and so on, the body would start to decay right away. And so they would need to wrap the body, put the spices and things around the body, and put the body in the cave. And they would roll the stone in front of it. They didn't bury people, they put them in caves. And there would be, to know the full extent, there would be like family caves, burial places, and they would put somebody in on a ledge, and after a year, they would go in and collect the bones and put them in a box and put them in the back of the cave. And so they would use that cave for the family over and over again. So then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. There are two sisters, Mary and Martha. They're different in their personalities. If you, I had three older brothers. We're all different in our personalities. I never had a sister, so don't know. But I think you ladies who have had sisters, is there a difference in personalities? Yes, yeah. If you had sisters, there's, My sister's, never mind. You could have some special things to say about your sister. So Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So that's coming right to the point. They knew what Jesus was capable of doing. He had healed people. He had even raised a couple of individuals from the dead. He had walked on water. He had fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. I mean, the miracles were just part of his everyday life. And so he went around healing the sick and preaching the message of repentance and, coming to God. And he did all of this, but he wasn't there for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He wasn't there for Lazarus. And they couldn't understand it. And this is where I think for us, sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do. Why did God not help me, and it seemed like he helped them? Why is it that things happen, bad things happen to good people? I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything to receive this. Well, it's not a matter of deserving. It's a matter of life. Life comes at us from different directions and from different people, and some people just have a rotten disposition, and their idea of fun is hurting people for no reason. We can't understand why people do what they do, but we have to understand why we do what we do. Here's an important aspect. Whenever you're doing a self-evaluation, something goes wrong, you do something wrong, and you know it's wrong, and you would ask yourself, why did I do that? And you start beating yourself up. Why did I do that? It's what and how. What happened? How did it happen? What was I thinking? How did I come to that conclusion? How did I end up in this position where this is turned out so bad? We can blame everybody. We can blame the sun, the stars, the God, the neighbors, the friends. We can blame everybody. It's like the lady who was complaining about her neighbor. This is back in the days when people washed their clothes and put them out online, hang them out on a line. And she was complaining about how dirty the neighbor's laundry was. Well, one day, her husband gets up early and washes her windows in their house, and she gets up and says, wow, she must have learned how to wash clothes. sometimes it's how what you're seeing. Why is the world so foggy? Well, did you clean your glasses? We often did a test or something at the hospital, helping people who couldn't see. You're there, an employee of the hospital. How are you going to help people that are having problems? So we take Vaseline and put it on their glasses. So their whole world was smeared. And I says, now put these on and go down the hall. Can you imagine somebody who's never been here trying to get down the hall and find these places that are written on the wall, but you can't read them? So how will you help them? In our life, we have to recognize that our life is unique to you. And we are the ones that have to determine how we're going to live, not other people determine how we're going to live. We have to learn. And so, Martha here, she comes to Jesus. If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And it isn't the case that Jesus didn't love them, because even in the request, there was the request, come, Jesus, the one that you love is sick. So Jesus loved Lazarus, but he still died. And that's when it gets hard to understand. Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. The challenge of that statement is, she doesn't ask Jesus to heal or bring back to life her brother. She just states what God can do. I know that you can do this. In our life, in our prayers, we need to be specific. I know that God can answer my prayers, but I need to say, God, answer this prayer. God, I am praying for this individual. I am praying for this event. Answer my prayer. Answer this prayer. Then we'll have a yes or no. But just to say, God, the creator of the universe, he can do all things. Okay? Well, that's not a prayer. That's a declaration. It's saying what God is, who God is, and what he can do. So in our prayers, we are trying to understand or put our faith into action. Our faith, we say, well, I don't have enough faith. Where did Jesus ever say, you have no faith? He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and a mustard seed is the smallest of seed, it's like the head of a pin. It's that small. And Jesus said, if you have that much faith, you can say to this mountain, move, and it'll move. That much faith. So it isn't about quantity. It's about recognizing the authority and who Jesus is. If you'd have been here, if you'd have showed up, this wouldn't have happened. Well, it's not a prayer. You're capable of anything. Well, that's not a prayer. A prayer is, Jesus, oh, universe, great force of Star Wars. Oh, great energy of the earth. Gravity, pull me close. There's only one God. And there is gravity, and there are energies, or there wouldn't be a north and a south pole on for knowing a compass. There are these things going around, but that is not God, and the power of the universe is not just magnanimous magnitude. It's not magnanimous. It sounded good, didn't it? Gravitational pull. Okay. There is that for the entire universe. It's that's what holds all the planets in place, is this gravitational pull. But anyhow, it's another story. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She gave a open statement. You could do anything. And Jesus says, yes, at the end, Jesus, your brother will rise again. Well, Jesus was being specific, but yet not being specific. He's like, okay, Martha, tell me what you heard. I say to you, ask Jesus, tell me what you heard. What did you hear? Oh, God's going to give me anything I want. No, I always, I don't know if Rachel, our daughter, will listen to this, but when she was young, teenager, maybe 13, 12, 14, somewhere in there, she was like my wife. She was very stubborn. Now that's a McGee characteristic. She got that from me. So, any of you heard, don't send any hate mail or anything. It's me. I'm the one who's stubborn. You know, it's not my wife. But anyhow, so I set Rachel down. I'm talking to her, and I said, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, I said, okay, tell me what you heard. She goes, A, B, C, D. It's like, was I here when I was I part of the conversation we just had? That is not at all what I said. Here, let me tell you again what I said. And I said, now tell me back. Well, 1, 2, A, B, C. You know, it's like, wait. It was like she didn't hear what I was saying as I was intending it to be heard. The illustration for that is if a radio channel, radio station sends out a signal and you're receiving a signal, but it's not the one that's being broadcast, something is wrong. And it's generally the receiver. And in our life, God is sending his love to us, and he's telling us who he is, and his greatness, and his compassion, and his forgiveness, and all that's coming to us, and we're hearing, I can do what I want, go where I want to go, do what I want to do, you know, there's no sin, there's no bad guys, there's nothing going to harm me now. That's not the single. That's not the same signal. It's not coming from God. So Jesus said to your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. I know that it's going to happen after everything's gone. He's dead. And then at the end of time, he'll rise again. That's an important part. Because the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees were sad, you see, because they did not believe in a life after death. So her belief was in the resurrection. And Jesus told her, this is a very important thing. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection. I am life. He is God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ. He was there. He is there in creation. He spoke life into existence. He spoke the world into existence. And he tells Martha, I am life. I am resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he comes right to the point. Martha, do you believe this? What does Martha do? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That's not what he asked her. Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Oh, I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the one that's to come into the world. I believe you're the Messiah. But do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? All life is in me. I gave it. I spoke it into existence. Do you believe that? And when he had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come, is calling for you. Now, Mary and Martha, two different personalities. A few chapters back, we have Mary and Martha, and Jesus is there with the rest of the disciples, and they're sitting around, and Martha's in the kitchen. She's getting everything ready. She's trying to get all the stuff prepared to feed Jesus and all the disciples. She wants everything to be perfect. She wants everything done well. And Mary just sits there. She doesn't do anything. She's just sitting there watching Jesus, listening to him. Well, Martha comes out, and she's kind of upset, and she says, Jesus, I'm trying to get all this stuff ready for you, and Mary's sitting there doing nothing. Why don't you have her come and help me? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, that's my mother. Mother, my mother is troubled about anything, you know. If it's not perfect, it's not done. So, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. But Mary has chosen the best thing. She's chosen to sit here and listen to me. Sitting here and listening to me. See, the scriptures speak to us about God and his love and his life and his forgiveness and helping us to understand difficult situations. You see, where we live where Mary and Martha are questioning Jesus. I haven't raised, you know, everybody I know, all the preachers I know, all the ministries I know, they don't go to the funeral homes and raise the dead. You know. So we live in this place of grief. When our loved ones die, we're sad. It's just how it goes. When you love somebody and they're not here, they're over there, we are heartbroken. They may be in a safe place, but we still miss them. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what life is. Well, now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. Now, what happens here is Jesus wanted to bring the two of them together, Mary and Martha. He wanted them to come together. And so he doesn't go to the tomb. He goes to he sends Martha to get Mary. Mary comes out to meet Jesus, and they're together in this thing because the tomb is always outside of the city, outside of the residence. So there was no tomb inside of town. There was no, like we have cemeteries in town or on the edges of town. Well, they would have it outside, far away from the homes. So the Jews who were with her in the house, that's with Mary, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." So it was part of their culture to have mourners. And the mourners would come, and they could be individuals who knew the family, or they could be hired mourners. And that was very customary because there was no viewing, there was no, you know, helping people deal with the death. It was like they've died, wrapped them up and put them in the tomb, and then they would come back to the house. Well, the families would have people who would be there to comfort them. And so this is where these individuals are around the house. And when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They had one thing in mind. Jesus was capable of making him well, healing him, and he didn't come. So therefore, what Jesus could do was finished. See, that's where we make our mistake. When things come to a conclusion as we think they're a conclusion, we give up on our prayers. We give up on asking, we give up on doing. But you see, we need to keep on asking, and that we've seemingly pushed through that this is what I thought was all that could happen, and it's done, and it's finished, and it's all over, and if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But see, Jesus had more to reveal than just healing. They were looking for a healing. Jesus had in mind a resurrection. And how do you go through the healing to the resurrection? There's a lot of pain and sorrow. There's a lot of conflict and doubt. There's a lot of not understanding why. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. See, the Bible says that God is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, meaning that if you hurt, he hurts. If you have an expectation, we pray that God, that our expectation is what God has, his expectation. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to continue to believe and to pray. But we know that he is touched by our feelings because Jesus wept. I mean, think about this. Here's the guy who spoke into existence the world. Okay? And he is the giver. He is the resurrection and the life. And he knows that in a few moments he's going to call Lazarus from the grave. Here he is weeping with Mary and Martha and those who were weeping. Jesus doesn't bypass our pain. He doesn't bypass our disappointments. He knows exactly where we are, and he stands there with us. Then the Jews said, this is where we get to the people who are watching. They said, "Wow, could not this man who had opened the eyes of the blind and also kept him from dying?" Jesus in a box. Jesus can only do so many things. Well, What's in your box? How big is your box? What is it that God can do? You see, Jesus was going to show them the reality of the resurrection and call Lazarus from the grave, but they said, well, if he'd have been here, he could have made him, you know, he healed other people, he could have kept him alive. And so this is what Jesus could do. Mary and Martha, this is what Jesus can do. And in our experience, and it's not faulting us, it's just that we know or we have faith enough to believe for certain things to be a certain way, and that's kind of like all the further we can go. But what happens is, when things happen in our life and they push against the boundaries, God is saying, expand your boundaries. I'm bigger than what you think I am. I can do more than what you think I can do. I am resurrection and life. Yeah, but he's dead. See, it's beyond help now. He's been in the grave 4 days. You know, it's beyond help. If you'd have been here when I wanted you to be here, everything would be all right. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laying against it. So it's like what you have those pictures of, that they put these large stones. Why? Because they didn't want grave robbers getting in. And so that one person can't move the stone. It takes 3 or 4 people to move the stone. It's not just some little, you know, sometimes it's 5-6 feet high. It's a big, round, thick stone that has been cut. Stone masons have cut it, and they've also cut into the ground, cut into the hill, made these little ledges for people to be laid on for when they die. And so they roll this stone in front of it to somehow keep out the odor a little bit and to keep people from growing in and trying to rob the dead. So Jesus said, take away the stone. This is really pushing the boundaries. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. He's been dead 4 days. He's already started to decay. You know, and at 110 degrees, 100 degrees, doesn't take long. Jesus said to her, did I not, this is the question, what do we know of God? And whenever we are doubting and we're pushing against the boundaries, did God really say that he could do what we're asking him? Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Remember the word. Jesus is telling Mary and Martha, remember the word. What is the word? I am resurrection and life. When we go to the cemetery and Christians and so on, we go knowing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The people that have perished, that have died in this life, are still alive. Those we call dead are still alive in the eyes of God. So here we are in this setting, and what happens? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said. Now, Jesus wanted the people to know that he and the Father were one. He wanted the people to know he is the Messiah. Now, the surrounding Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes, they were trying to find some way to criticize or to kill Jesus. And they were looking for his words so that they could punish him. And he just speaks it out. Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Remember those words. Every time you pray, when you pray, remember these words. Father, I thank you that you hear me, and I know that you always hear me. God's not deaf. He's not on vacation. He knows exactly who you are, what you need, and what your prayer is. But he still wants us to ask. Not like Mary and Martha. I know that you can do this. I know that you can do that. And you know, I'm just assuming you should just show up and do it. You know, he wouldn't die. But because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Can you imagine being in the crowd? There's this stench coming out of the tomb. This guy's been dead for 4 days. And everybody knows he's dead. They help, most of them help bury him. Now they've been mourning with Mary and Martha for 4 days. Now they're standing around listening to this lunatic talk about resurrection and saying, "Move the stone." And then he stands there and says, "Lazarus, you in the grave, come out." And so they're all standing there watching. And Lazarus walks out. You know, it's like some of them say, "Oh, he's a ghost," you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. No, it's Lazarus. He's alive. And what did Jesus say? "Loose him and let him go." Find that, you know, most of the time we think of the burial garb. They could have wound both of his legs separately, not together like a skirt. But they could have bound them together. It was a way of keeping the smell down, putting in spices and things on the body to help keep the stench down. And so Lazarus walks out and he says, loose the garments, take them off of him, let him go, he's alive. For us, Jesus says, for us, when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. This happened to Lazarus about a week before the crucifixion and Jesus and his resurrection. Jesus was telling and showing the disciples in the world he has the power of life. And he who called Lazarus from the grave and gave him life is, "I am resurrection and life," that he rose from the dead. And so, and because of this, now, here are, and I'll close with this. The Pharisees and the scribes and the priests in the temple, do you know what their thoughts were? He's raised Lazarus from the dead. He is gaining a following. We've got to kill both Lazarus and Jesus. Rather than looking at the truth and looking at the miracle, they said they just disbelieved the miracle. We got to kill him anyhow. So we find that there are people who are blind and won't see anything but what they want. But we want to open our hearts and open our eyes to what the scriptures say to us. And God doesn't mind questions. He doesn't mind questions. We have doubting Thomas in the resurrection. He comes, "I'm not going to believe in a resurrection until I put my fingers in his hand and my hand in his side." What'd Jesus do? He showed up, said, "Hey, Thomas, come here." See, the challenge is for us to believe, to accept what the truth is and allow that truth to settle in our hearts, and to ask God to be with us, to walk with us and help us, give us direction, to protect us and guide us. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the resurrection and the life. And if in this life, we're going to have troubles and trials, but God will be with us as we go through them. Amen? Jesus, we thank you for hearing our prayers and for working in our lives. You are the resurrection and the life. Let that life that is in you continue to be in us. Jesus, we confess our sin, our failures, our questions, our doubts. We confess and ask you to forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, of all the things we said or done that would be hurtful or sinful in your eyes. Forgive us. Give us wisdom and guidance that we may grow from here and grow in our faith and our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.